Our study continues in the third chapter of the book of Acts. You will remember that we had read the first eight verses of the third chapter of the book of Acts, the story of the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple. And then you will recall we spent our time considering how important it was that Peter and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer. I want to go on with that incident now and study it some further with you, because we're having a look at what happened when the early church first met the world. And Peter and John are representing the church, and on this particular occasion, these two Christian believers are involved in this incident that we're reading. And so we have read and we have noted how in the first verse, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms." Now that seems like a very natural story. I mean, that incident could have happened almost anywhere in the world. Let me point out to you that it shows something about the judgment of the public with reference to people who worship God. Now, one of the first things that will come to your mind is that the world has in it lame folks. And they're not just those that are physically lame. One of the most characteristic things of human beings is that they're handicapped. Human beings as a whole, many, many of us in one form, many in another, but every human being there is likely to feel his own personal limitations, shortcomings, weaknesses. So this certain man, lame from his mother's womb, he was born that way. And that's the way many of us are. Many of us have weaknesses, and we are personality liabilities in us. Actually, we're not the kind of people we wish we were. And a lot of us were born that way. It's a very natural thing. A certain man, lame from his mother's womb, nothing that he had done, nothing that had specially been responsible about, he was born that way. And this man was carried and laid daily at the gate of the temple to ask alms of them which entered into the temple. Why? Because the public has noticed, and mankind has found out as a whole, that so far as people being charitable is concerned, they are more charitable when they're coming to God than at any other time. And especially was this true with reference to the Jewish people, because the Jewish people had it as part of their religious life that they would give to the poor. And it had been learned in that city, and they understood about it. And here they would wonder, when will we approach anybody to ask for help? Well, ask for help at the time that he's going to worship. You know, there's something very fitting about that. The person who's going into the temple is going into the temple to ask for help. When I go to church to worship God, I'm actually there because I need help. And it's somewhat easy for me, when I am going to the church to need help, to feel inwardly moved that I would like to help some man that also needs help. Mind you, however you explain it, the fact of the matter is that by common consent, the public will agree that the best time to ask a person for help is when he is turning to God, where he's going to be asking for help for himself. And so this man, seeing Peter and John enter into the temple, he had no idea who Peter and John were. He didn't know anything about their personal faith or about their personal obedience to the Lord. The only thing he knew was they were about to go in the temple, and he asked for help. Here again is a very important thing. The important thing of public worship, the important thing of openly, publicly seeking God's face, it gives the other people in the community a chance to look. It gives them a chance to see. You'd be surprised how many of them will take note of the people who do actually go to church, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, notice that. Peter is now going to speak to him. He's going to say something very profound and meaningful to this man. He doesn't do it alone. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, that is, looking at him very steadily, with John, said, "Look on us." And I take it that that's as much as to say, we're not going to try and get out of this. We're not going to try and escape. We're not going to try and just get away from your request. We're ready to face it. Take a good look at us. We're right in this thing with you. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. There again is something of importance. This man afterwards was blessed. Notice, he expected to receive. I do not know that he had any special acquaintance with Peter and John. It wasn't because they were Peter and John that he expected to receive something of them. It was because they were going to worship God. It was because they were going into the temple to worship, and he had found out that people like that are more likely to give. And so he gave heed unto them, he looked to them, thinking that the reason why they had asked him to look was because they were going to help him, expecting to receive something of them. This is why he looked. Now, actually, as you and I know, he received more than he ever thought of. But it started this way. So far as he was concerned, he expected to receive something. I think perhaps there's a lesson there for us. I think perhaps you and I should so conduct ourselves in the community that people in the community get the idea that they could get help from us. Now, maybe we can give them more help than they know. Maybe we can give them help of a kind that they don't know about. But they're expecting help from us, and as long as they're expecting help from us, we've got a chance to give it. If the time should ever come that they don't expect any help from us, they won't ask us. And if they don't ask us, we won't be able to give them. So this was all very important. He giving heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." This is a basic statement for all of us to keep in mind. Silver and gold have I none, that is as much as to say, and you and I could say with reference to the needs of the world. When it comes to supplying the physical needs of the world, we just don't have money enough. We just don't have it. Silver and gold, I just don't have it. But I have something. Such as I have give I thee. We could say that the Bible would make it plain here that God has never endowed the church with enough money to meet all the physical needs of the world. Now, mind you, the cattle on 1,000 hills belong to God. All the silver and the gold is his. God has it at his hand, and I dare say if he'd wanted to arrange it this way, he could have arranged it that his people would have the dispensing of all his wealth. But he didn't arrange it that way. He didn't set it up that way. He set it up as it is now, and that means that his people don't have any more money than anybody else has. Silver and gold, I haven't got it. But such as I have, give I thee. We do have something. And so he gives this man something. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. What did Peter actually give this man? I think that what Peter actually gave this man was the operation, if you will, of Peter's own faith. Peter applied his faith on behalf of the man. Peter actually undertook to ask God to bless the man and to help the man. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And this is Peter's faith being exercised. Now notice the 7th verse, because to me it is very significant. He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Do you notice he did that before anything happened to the man? He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. He acted this way before the man had any change in him. That's where faith comes in obedience. When we do the will of God on any given instance, and we do not yet just see the outcome, but we have his word. You're reminded of the time that Peter was told by the Lord to go and let his nets down for a draught of fish. And Peter said, "Lord, we've fished all night. We didn't take anything. There aren't any fish out there. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net." That's the pattern, folks. Let's do it the way God says, even if you can't see it. You remember how it was with Abraham? God told Abraham he'd have a son. Abraham was 100 years old. And Abraham considered not his own body, now as good as dead, but he considered God and gave God the glory, believing that what God had promised he was able also to perform. You remember the time when Peter met the Lord Jesus and the Lord was walking on the water and Peter was in the boat? Everybody was frightened, thought they'd seen a ghost. And the Lord said, Be not afraid, it is I. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come out. And the Lord bade him to come out, and he came out. I don't think that Peter expected, I don't know what you think, but personally, I'm ready to think that Peter didn't expect to walk. As a matter of fact, later on he began to sink when he began to lose faith. But actually, the whole operation of faith is, we get the Word of God and we move out on it before we see the consequences. He took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and then, immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. This means more than I'll have time to put on. Because you and I are going to have to know, what does God want me to do? It's not going to look like it when I'm getting ready to do it. God wanted Noah to build an ark. It hadn't rained yet. And Noah was to go ahead and build that ark. It hadn't rained yet. He built that ark on dry ground, expecting that God would, that what God had said would happen, and it did, and he was saved. That's the story. Such, he immediately, after Peter took him up, his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. You can just see him getting more and more excited, more and more aroused, more and more thrilled with what had happened, because of what had happened. But when you and I see this whole thing happen, we see that it was Peter and John exercising their faith on behalf of this man and actually bringing to pass a change in the man by the grace and the power of God. There's going to be more about this, but this is as far as we're going today. Our God and Heavenly Father, add thy blessing to us. Incline us to trust in thee, and especially do thou incline us to put our confidence in thee about thy promises. And Father, in anything that thou dost give us to do, give us the grace to serve thee obediently before we can see what's going to happen, so that thou canst respond to the faith we have and glorify thyself in answering. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.